Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Good morning from my palatial studios in Fort Collins at my house. It is a beautiful start to the Memorial Day holiday. I guess we're going to get a little weather the next couple days. But you know what? A couple things I want to say right off the start. Obviously, this is going to be a different Memorial Day holiday, so everybody be responsible and be careful. But the other thing is, remember what this holiday really is about. I know we celebrate the start of summer and barbecuing and camping and getting out and all those things, but this holiday is really about the people who gave their lives to keep this country free, and let's make sure we take at least a moment to reflect on that. That's really important, especially with all the things that are going on in the world today. We have got a packed show for you today. We're going to take you down later in the second hour, in the next segment, to Trinidad Reservoir, one of my favorite places. And we're also going to talk a little bit about a new property that's going to be opening up right down in that same area. We're going to talk some pond fishing, some river fishing. We're going to talk some lake fishing. Nate Zielinski has been into some giant lake trout. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to just cover the whole thing and see if we can't make it so you can have a better Memorial weekend and a better summer of enjoying the outdoors. But let's go right to the phones and get started. Joining us, he's the editor of Trout Magazine. He's an editor at large for Field & Stream Magazine. He's an author. It goes on and on. But most of all, he's a really good friend of mine, and that's Kirk Dieter. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
I am doing fine. I know you're kind of up in the mountains. How's the weather up there?
It's starting to cloud up a little bit. I'm up in Steamboat Springs right now. It's 55 degrees. Today's the day to get out and get the fishing in, because tomorrow, I think, is when our weather comes. But sometimes the weather makes the fishing better. You know that.
Oh, yeah. It can change a lot. You know, hatches, the way the fish behave, all kinds of things. Let's start with the fishing a little bit. I want to talk to you about two or three things. I know our good friend John Garrick has a new book coming out. We want to talk about that, and we want to talk about some activities with TU and DU and some combined things going on. But let's dig right into the fishing. What have you seen on the rivers? Are they really starting to get a little rolly?
Yeah, everything's pretty haystacked up now. I'm looking at the Yampa now, and it's probably well over 3,000. I think the Colorado's the same. But there are some feeder creeks that are clear, even though they're high. And, of course, the lake fishing is prime right now. So it's time to practice the flat water skills. Maybe if you're going to get on the river, tuck under a dam somewhere. The freestones are rolling, and it's a good sign. It always kind of makes me sad that I can't fish right now, but it makes me feel good about what's going to happen later in the summer.
Well, you know, another thing that's going on, we've got a lot of new anglers out there, and a little later I want to get into that and getting families involved in fishing too. But it probably, with the water running this high in most freestone streams, is not a good time for a novice angler to get out there, and it's certainly not a time for anybody to be wading in the rivers. Wouldn't you agree?
I totally agree with that. And, in fact, it doesn't take much water to knock a big person off their feet, and I speak from experience. You know, it only takes ankle-deep water when it's moving really fast and slick rocks. So, yeah, now's not time to keep your boots dry, I think, or stay in the boat in the lake or do whatever you're going to do. Stay on the grass. But waiting can get a little sporty right now.
Yeah, a lot of times when I wade this time of year, I leave the waders at home, because if you are fishing a river that's running that high, you know where the fish are going to be. They're going to be near the shoreline anyway, and most people wade out and cast over them. But like you mentioned, maybe, you know, you can fish that high water. The fish are still going to eat. It's just difficult, and there are other alternatives. What are some of the favorite things you like to do when the rivers are high like this? You kind of started mentioning them. Maybe still water. You do more still water fishing?
I do Stillwater, and you know I'm the editor of Trout Magazine. I diversify species. This is when I'm going bass fishing. I'm going pike fishing. I'm going carp fishing. Carp fishing on the fly right now is prime. Between now and the middle of June, maybe carp's not your thing, but I can tell you it's a great challenge to figure out how to hook one on the fly. It's the poor man's bonefish, and we have plenty of them here all over Colorado. You can find them from right downtown Denver in the South Platte River to golf course ponds to sloughs out on the Colorado River that form up when the water gets high like this and it floods fields and so forth. So now's when I'm carp fishing. You know, ironically, I also spend a lot of time spin fishing now. Mr. Fly Fishing puts his fly rods away, and I get down and dirty with the spinning gear, and that's refreshing too, because you learn a lot when you cross over. I learn spin fishing, and I apply it to fly fishing, and vice versa. It's all really about reading currents and stuff like that. So.
Oh, it really is about learning about fish behavior and how they eat and how they feed and how they react and different tools, different ways of approaching it, a different mindset when you're on the water. But all of them can be a lot of fun and successful. The carp thing, I really agree with you on. I also think carp are great practice, especially if you're going to take maybe that bonefish trip, or maybe if you're a redfish trip, or even if you're just lucky enough to get into a huge brown trout here in the mountains. Most people don't hook big fish very often. And when they do, they tend to pucker up a little bit. And if you've never handled a big fish on a fly rod, fishing for carp can be just a great education, right?
Yeah, it can. And it not only it's hard to hook them in the first place because they can smell you, they can feel you coming, they can sense you. They're really smart fish, believe it or not. We undervalue them as far as how smart they are. But then in terms of the fighting, they can bulldog, and you need to learn how to handle that. I mean, if you can land a 10-pound carp, you're not going to have a problem landing a 5-pound bonefish or even a 20-pound redfish. The carps tend to be the ones that challenge me the most, that's for sure.
Oh, I remember the first time I was fishing with good friends of ours, Brad Beefus and Barry Reynolds, this goes back over 20 years when they first introduced Carp on the Fly, their first book. And we were filming and they were doing some of the early fishing, and I fished a little later on. But one of my tasks was when they'd get one in close was for me to pick it up and show it to the camera. Having not really done that much with carp, we had some very interesting outtakes, I'll tell you.
I can imagine. It's like trying to distill a greased pig thing, right? They slide all over the place. So.
Oh, and they're hard to get a hold of. They don't have the normal handles other fish do.
Hey, no, they don't.
There's lots of opportunities. I want to get back to fishing in a minute, and I want to talk about some other activities. But one thing I want to make sure we give plenty of time to, and our good friend John Gierick has a new book coming out. I believe it's Dumb Luck and the Kindness of Strangers. And you have an event coming up to present that book. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, because people aren't really able to, poor John couldn't do his book tour to launch this great book of his in the same way that he would when he would barnstorm and go to different large gatherings of people. So in this day and age, we're going to do a virtual event, and it's going to be this Thursday, May 28th, and it's at 6 o'clock Mountain Time, p.m., and we're going to live stream. And people can come on, and I'll ask John some questions, but people who join the event can ask John questions as well. You just need to go to tu.org/Gierick, and that's G-I-E-R-A-C-H, but just tu.org and look around. And you can register for the event that way, and then 6 o'clock on Thursday rolls around, and we'll be having a virtual book launch with one of my favorite authors. And not to roll on too long here, but I mean, it's been a super fun experience for me as the editor of Trout Magazine, because some of the chapters in this book first appeared in Trout Magazine as John's regular column in Trout. So I get a sneak peek as this evolves, but to see it all put in one place, in one volume, one book, it's a pretty special deal. And I think this is actually one of his best, which is tall praise, because John has many, many wonderful books.
I will post that information on my Facebook page also, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. So anybody that's interested, if you heard it today and didn't get a chance to write it down, I'll put it on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on Facebook. One thing about John, though, I got to say, there's something about him that just aggravates me and I don't like. And I'm going to tell you right now, because John comes from Minnesota like I do, and you from the Midwest, we have similar life experiences at different times in our life and a lot of the same friends and a lot of the same places to fish. But he's able to write about them in a way that's so entertaining and so captivating and so fun that it just makes me mad because I can't do that.
Yeah, John's the envy of many of us. The way he can turn a phrase and he comes to the concluding point, he'll talk about an event and a situation and he'll sum it up in one line that sticks in your head, and you've been thinking about it the next time you hit the river. And that's what's made him such a great writer, great author for so many years now. So,
I've been an outdoor writer for decades. I've been an outdoor writer for decades, and I just am envious in a very friendly way. I just think the world of John and his books. I love to read them. This is going to be great. So, Will, before I let you go, we'll give that date out again. Also, there's something going on. You mentioned to me when we talked earlier in the week that TU is partnering up with Ducks Unlimited and some of the other affinity groups to about some responsible outdoor recreation. Is that right?
That's right. The National Fish and Wildlife Foundation has empowered all of us to, and that would be Trout Unlimited, National Wild Turkey Federation, Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forever, and a couple others, to reach out to our constituents, people who like the sports and the outdoors, and say, absolutely, now is the time to be outside. It's a renaissance in fishing that I'm seeing, but it's important to do so responsibly. So the campaign is responsible recreation. And if you're fishing with your family, take a photo, hashtag it, put it online, hashtag it responsible recreation, and you have a chance to win prizes from TU, like rods and so forth. It's definitely worth it. But what we really want people to do is, A, get outside and fish. Absolutely. But if you're going to do it, just make sure that it's not exactly like it was before. Maintain your distance from other anglers that you don't know. You know, try to be in a boat with your family. Try to stay a little bit more local. Discover some of the things that are close to you. If you are in a boat with others, you happen to be where that's deemed appropriate, you wear a mask. If you're going to be in close proximity, just like you would if you're in the grocery store, just do it responsibly, and then all options are available beyond that. It's the time to fish. Dr. Anthony Fauci the other night on CNN actually said go fishing. So that's all I had to hear. I'm on my way this afternoon.
Yeah, I don't need to be pushed real hard. Hey, tell people again how, if they wanted to participate in that, where do they go?
So you go to TU.org, and also you're posting online on Facebook, and just hashtag it responsible recreation.
Okay. That sounds like a great opportunity. You know, I want to touch a little more. I'm going to take a couple more minutes because I want to touch. You mentioned fishing is growing. You know, we went through these periods of ups and downs with a lot of things. People supposed to stay home. Now they're getting out. And obviously people are getting outdoors. People who probably haven't really been outdoors, or at least outdoors much in years, because we don't have youth sports. You can't go to a movie. You can't go out to dinner. So there's all these people. Let's go outside. Let's go for a walk. Let's go for a hike. Let's go to the park. Let's do some of these things. And a lot of them are getting into fishing. And I want to kind of piggyback on what you said about responsible, but I also want to make it incumbent on the sportsmen who are out there now. The revenue that builds the resources and supports our outdoor community come from license sales and taxes on participation of buying equipment and things like that. And right now, the sportsmen need to reach out when they see somebody new to the outdoors, when they have a question, when they want to know, how do I get started? What do I do? Where can I take my family fishing? You know, don't preach to them necessarily about being responsible. Make sure you mention it, but then help them. tell them, here's where you can go and catch some bluegills with a bobber and some worms, or here's a great place to go start fly fishing and take your daughter or your son out with you. Here's a great place to go for a family outing and enjoy the water or whatever it is outdoors. And Kirk, I think that is, you know, sportsmen who've been around for a while, and we need to help these people get properly started so that a lot of them keep going outdoors, but do it in the right way.
I think you're right. And no one wants to be preachy at this time, and now's the time to support each other. And I think that I'm looking at, if there is any silver lining in all of this pandemic stuff, I think that it's going to be the summer of family fishing. I think that I'm already fishing with my family more than I've done in the past. And that it's kind of bittersweet for me, because all the time I spend fishing, I do it for work and this and that. And now it's time to get back to the roots. And I think a lot of families are realizing that it's cost effective, it's healthy, it's outdoor, and it brings them together. So I think if we all work toward making 2020, instead of the year of the pandemic, the year of family fishing, then I think that we might at least look back and have some fond memories. And this is something that we can build some momentum going forward that helps the sport, helps the outdoors, helps our environment, helps everything. It's a positive if we channel it, if we make lemonade out of the lemons.
All right, last thing, then I got to let you go. But we have nice weather today. It could change a little bit. If you were going to try to go somewhere this afternoon and do a little fishing, and you were anywhere in the state, I guess, but probably more Front Range, where would you go?
I'd hit the closest pond or golf course pond or whatever that can access, the closest piece of water, and I'd try to catch a carp.
All right, my friend. You enjoy the rest of the weekend. We'll get you back in the studio soon when things settle down, and you and I can really spend some time together.
I'll look forward to that. I look forward to spending some time in person with you when we can do it more often.
All right. Thanks, Kirk. Kirk Dieter, right. editor of Trout Magazine, Field and Stream. You know, I'm going to post what he said about John Gehrig's new book, that Thursday night event, because John is such an incredible writer. We'll get that up on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. And later on in this show, when Austin Parr comes on, we're going to actually talk about beginning fishermen going to some of these ponds and what kind of gear you need to buy. So we've just got a lot coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.